Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Our guest for this evening, Chris Cruz. Chris is a media producer at Blaze Media, where he contributes to various radio and television productions. He also hosts the Chris Cruz programme, a weekly podcast that looks at entertainment and politics. I last spoke to Chris in the run-up to the US presidential election, and I'm delighted to be able to check in with him now to get his insight on the current political landscape in the US. Chris, you're so welcome back to the show. Suffice to say, a lot has happened since we last spoke.
Gary, a lot has happened, and not even, I don't know about you guys, but not even here we can keep up with how much work Trump has already started in the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, I want you to talk us through that, Chris, because, I mean, it has been like an avalanche of news. People, I mean, my aunt, she follows American politics very, very closely, and she said to me this evening, she goes, I can't take anymore. I mean, I've had my fill of it. It's just constant. And there's been so much lost and fallen down the cracks. People are like, oh, he's done this. Oh, but he did this. Did you know he did this? And it's almost like you've had a 3-year presidency in 3 weeks. So give me the top five. Give us a general overview of the major things that he's done. And then we'll talk about the executive orders and the speeches he's given that have caused, I suppose, an awful lot of, you know, trouble around the world. So just start with the few executive orders that stand out to you.
Absolutely. So first, you have that new CBS News poll that came out yesterday or the day before, and it highlights what people are really excited in the sense of being heard. So for example, the first one right off the top is sending U.S. troops to the U.S. and Mexico border. That's been something that he's been promising since he started running, and he made that happen. As we speak, you have Marines in the border. You have airborne in the border. You have the top cops in the Army in the border. You have everybody, Secretary Kristi Noem, in the border, you know, making sure that the border patrols have exactly what they need in order to stop that influx. The border czar, Tom Homan, came out and said he can confidently say that about 80% of the crossing is being stopped, 80 to 90%.
And they were record crossings, because, Chris, weren't they? I mean, you were looking at something like, what was it, 10 to 11 million people?
Yes, and that was record-breaking incoming and not record-breaking stopping. And that's the first one that really, really got Trump to the right start for the people that voted for him. The other one was...
But Chris, sorry to cut across you. That's popular on the left and the right, isn't it? I mean, that is one thing that everybody in America seems to agree on.
It is very popular. And about 64% of Americans approve that sending U.S. troops to the U.S.-Mexico border. Got to remember, fentanyl has been killing most of our citizens. And fentanyl comes from the southern border. And that's one thing that has hit both sides, left and right. Someone either died from fentanyl accidentally or they overdosed, or someone sadly is being sexually assaulted by a illegal or murdered, especially here in Texas, is one of the saddest cases of a young lady being murdered by an illegal. And that was one of those big, big campaign promises, and thanks to the GOP, they were able to pass the Riley Act.
The Laken Riley Act, yeah, that was very popular as well, the one he signed there recently.
Yes. So those are the big issues at this moment, especially the border.
And Chris, for our listeners, can you explain to us what the Laken Riley Act is?
Yes, the Laken Riley Act is common sense. Is we have to detain the people that have criminal records, background. Like if a person, an illegal alien, right, someone that crossed the border illegally has a criminal past, that person needs to be arrested and sent back. The Riley Act, the Laken Riley Act, allows, which is, again, common sense, border agents to detain that person that has a criminal past and send them back. It is very common sense, but sad that we had to pass something like that.
Yeah. And what else, Chris? Because that was one of the many, many executive orders he passed. Was there any others that stood out to you?
Yes, another one was the whole focusing on lowering prices, right? He signed executive order to lower the prices. And right now we are on this tariff war. But the cool thing that Trump has been able to do in the last couple of days, and you guys probably saw it over there, was where he threatened to send tariffs to Mexico, send tariffs to Canada, and send tariffs to China. Now, at the moment, Mexico and China, those tariffs are paused for 30 days because Mexican president sent troops to the border.
Well, that was what they would say. Okay. Yeah, Chris, it was reported over here. It was seen as sort of a somewhat of a climb down in the sense that if Donald Trump's tariffs came in, Sheinbaum, I believe, is the president of Mexico. She said, well, look, hold off on that and we'll send 10,000 troops to the border. So either side of the border, you've got the Mexican army and the U.S. army.
Yes. And one thing that came out really, really interesting out of that was she came back and reported, the Mexican president came back and reported that, hey, just to let you know, the cartel that is crossing the border and sending, you know, drugs to America, they have American-made weapons. So that's something that kind of surprised us with how in the world did the cartel ended up with our weapons. So that was another interesting thing that she was able to share information, which I don't think she would have done if there wasn't that show of force. And that's one thing that I believe Trump, and to the point of this amazing survey that came out about him, was that people described Trump as 69% tough. And I think that's what's getting the point across with most of this country. One of the biggest things that Trump ran was America First. And it seems to bother a lot of Democrats here in America, which, again, I don't understand. It's not that controversial to say America first. All Trump wants is jobs, creation, and manufacturing to come back to America, not to another country. Why? Because he wants the jobs here so that the Americans here have jobs.
That's is this the thought pretty process, Chris, behind the steel tariffs? I mean, he was asked a question about whether the prices of steel will go up because of the tariffs, and he said ultimately they'll go down because we'll manufacture steel in America instead. Is that the point of these tariffs? Is to scare other countries?
The point to, and that's what I believe he's doing. He's trying to bring the countries back to the table and treat America fair. Why is it fair to tariff us and we don't tariff you? Right? We believe, and I believe, in fair trade. But when we make something here in America and try to sell it, I don't know, somewhere in China, well, we can't. Or if we are allowed, then they tariff the manufacturing, then that's not a fair trade. So that's one thing that I believe that is going to happen is all these threats are going to bring everybody to the table or show how the trade between countries are, and then if that country doesn't like the tariff, so then you have to fix that. It's just bringing people to the table.
And so you think that's what he's doing? This is all a game. I mean, we spoke at the top of the show to, you know, Doherty, columnist and broadcaster, and it was, I mean, we talked about other things that I want to talk to you about in terms of Palestine and Gaza.
But all of this is
part of Trump's overall plan.
Yes, he is, if you pay attention to the problem also with the first presidency was that he didn't have the right people around him. If you notice, again, 3 weeks, like you said, Gary, 3 weeks have felt like an entire 3 years of a presidency. But why is that? It's because he had a plan. He had the border saw ready. He had the White House chief deputy ready. Everything is being on the works for the last year. So that even the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, said before the election, we're ready. We've been gearing up 2 weeks out. Everything that President Trump has promised, they'll be ready for him to accomplish. That's why we can't, even your mom can't keep up with the news, is because they've been working on this for an entire year leading up to him getting elected. Then once he got elected, he hit the floor running. Now, the one thing I'm going to push back on the administration is I don't like executive orders because
Well, I was going to say that to you, Chris, because Republicans tend to not like executive orders. And we've had, I suppose, for the last two or three cycles, maybe even four, it sort of came in with Obama in the sense of these overriding executive orders from the president. Let's just avoid all the nonsense and go straight for the pen and paper. And it's interesting that he's signing so many and the Republicans are kind of OK with it.
Yes. And that's one thing that I'm going to say. I don't like executive orders because that's not what the president is there for, right? The Congress makes a law, the president signs it, boom, then you have what we have here. So I don't like all the executive orders, but if you think about from the GOP perspective, they saw the world coming to an end when Joe Biden took office. Then Joe Biden, in the last couple of weeks, couple of days, he signed not only a bunch of pardons and commuting sentences, he signed a bunch of executive orders to try to force the hand of Trump and add more distraction. So my big thing right now that I would love to see President Trump is start working with Congress and all those executive orders that he signed, back it up with congressional law, and then sign those. Because again, those executive orders will expire as soon as the next president comes in. Especially, usually what happens here in America on the midterm, which I know is way too early to talk about midterms, but looking ahead, what happens usually in the midterm, which is 2 years into a presidency, the opposite takes the House and the Senate.
Yeah, it flips.
It always happens.
Yeah.
It flips once again.
It is tit for tat, these executive orders. I mean, and it has been for us nearly 16 years. And as you say, it's in the Republican DNA to do away with them. But I wouldn't hold out much hope for anyone doing away with them, because it seems to be the way politics are conducted now in the United States. The president has the pen and paper. And, you know, it's like the last guy did it, so I'll do it. And, you know, so. But you mentioned pardons, Chris, and I wanted to ask you about that. Of course, famously, January 6th, Donald Trump pardoned everybody. And J.D. Vance had said previous to that that people who had been involved in violent or assault against police officers shouldn't be pardoned, but Trump went ahead and pardoned all of them. What do you make of that?
So it's very interesting, because I was on the same boat as J.D. Vance about pardoning the non-violent offenders, like the, you know, the 80-year-old grandma that was just walking through the Capitol.
Yeah, there was people that were just there. Yeah, just near enough.
The issue I had, and I believe this is, and again, I can't speak for the campaign, but it's the feeling that we had here, especially in my company, in the station that I work for, we had a J6 person, and he was walking in the Capitol, and he was going to be sentenced in March of this year, but he got a pardon. But the one thing I believe that changed that who was going to get the pardon was when Joe Biden decided to pardon his entire family. I believe that was an attack to what Donald Trump wanted to do. And when the campaign saw that Biden went out and pardoned his entire family, that's when they're like, you know what? Enough is enough. If he's going to pardon his family, we're going to take all the J6. Now, you said that, you know, police officer were attacked. That's very interesting, because police officers were attacked, you're absolutely right, but no police officer died on January 6th. Ashley Babbitt died on January 6th. So there's a lot of interesting opinions when it comes to January 6th. Now, police officers did die after January 6th.
Yeah, Chris, I was going to say, police officers did die afterwards of, they say, after the related consequences, yeah.
Yeah,
but on the day Ashley Babbitt.
Another was the... Yes, but, you know, so that's one thing that I believe that changed that whole who gets a pardon, the violent and the nonviolent J6ers. So it's very interesting to see what's going to happen next with pardons. And again, that's another one. I don't understand the whole pardon system because, you know, for example, Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City, his charges just got dropped and then Trump pardoned a Democratic governor, an ex-Democratic governor, for targeting. So I believe that what Donald Trump is trying to do with all this pardon and dismissing charges against Democrats is he's trying to make sure that the slate gets cleaned out with the targeting from the DOJ, which is the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice here was being targeted. Even my own workplace was getting targeted by the DOJ through the guy that they charge as a J6er. So I believe what Trump is trying to do is clean the slate out and start fresh, which is why he commissioned Elon Musk to one of the best things I think this government has had is the DOGE.
Well, you bring me to my next question, Chris, because from a global perspective, I think the concern from a lot of people is that USAID has been very helpful in an awful lot of places for very important programs that have helped a lot of people in their health, in their daily life. And I think the concern is that the soft power that America wields around the world is important, and Americans are losing sight of that. Yes, of course, there are musicals and things like that there that seem to be a waste of money, but USAID also, you know, helps people, and a bit of soft power in some kind of areas around the world is important for America, and to get rid of it seems a bit, you know, a bit blunt, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I believe that if those programs actually go to help, you know, to save lives, absolutely, America should be leading. We are, you know, a wealthy country, so we should help people that are in need. The problem I have with the whole USAID is that there was a lot of fraud and waste. And as a taxpayer myself, I want to make sure if I'm giving money to the government, it's used properly. So I believe that the 90-day hold to get an audit is a healthy look. That way we make sure that we're cutting waste when we're sending it, like you said, to LGBT groups or to transgender surgeries or to transgender plays or to transgender comic books. Those are the things that I want them cut, because they don't seem to be a transgender comic book, in my opinion. It's not something dire that someone, if they don't read it, they're going to die. But if we're going to send food for, I don't know, Gaza, Ukraine, absolutely. But it has to make sure that if I'm sending that, right, if America's sending that money of hardworking taxpayers, that it goes in a way that is respected for the American that is giving that money, actually, you know, taking that money from
us. Do you believe, Chris, when the audit is done, that USAID will return in some sort of fashion, in some sort of new name?
Absolutely. I 100% believe that, because I do believe that USAID will come back in a more way that we can hold people accountable. For example, I don't know if you guys saw over there, but Elon and his Doge group found that checks were given without a two-person or a memo line. So there was a lot of just blank checks going overseas. And that's the one that I have a problem with. Why are we sending blank checks? Even Ukraine said, I don't know where the $100 billion are. We don't know where they are. You guys sent it. We don't know where they are. That's taxpayer money that went somewhere. Where is that money? So in order for us, in my opinion, to help other countries, we must first fix our house and make sure we're not wasting any money. That way we can help other countries. But I 100% believe that USAID will come back in a better way. That way we know where, if we're sending $10 to this country, we know exactly where those $10 are going.
And Chris, you're in the States right now, and I'd love to get a feel for where we are on the whole Elon factor. I mean, he came along and he threw all his weight behind Donald Trump in the election cycle. And now he's there and Trump has given him a task and he's taken it head on, and it's been well covered. It's been received around the world. Everybody knows what he's doing. What I'd love to get an insight from you is, and how is it being received in the United States in terms of the citizenship of the country? Are they saying this is a good thing or is it a bad thing? Do you think it's popular, Elon Musk being in charge of Doge?
It is popular. It is popular because Elon here is loved. And one of the things that I'm noticing
is he loved,
that
Chris?
Elon...
Is he loved? By everybody?
He is loved. Not by everybody, but you can't please everybody. But right now, the problem that you have is that you have what Donald Trump calls lunatic Democrats causing a ruckus and saying that, oh, he is crazy. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's threatening South Africa. If you look at the spectrum when it comes to left and right. He is very loved in the GOP. He's liked by the regular Democrats, the center Democrats. He's hated by the hard left. But the problem is that the center and the right wants America to be prosperous, and Elon can bring that hope back. And that's what people are trying to rely on, is Elon can bring hope back, because here, yes, he's the world's richest man, but he's not a politician. He really doesn't care what, when you open that door, he doesn't care what's on the other side. He's going to show the world. And that's one thing here that people love, which is why they fell in love with Donald Trump. He cares for the little guy. Even if it's fake, right? Even if he's just doing it for a show, he shows that he cares for the little guy. And instead of pushing the little guy down, he reaches a hand out and picks up the little guy. That's why him and Trump are very liked by the right and the center.
And where are we, Chris, when it comes to the Middle East? Because, I mean, look, I mean, America is always pro-Israel. It doesn't matter who's in charge, left or right. That's always pretty much a given. And Trump's recent comments about Gaza and how he sees America's involvement in it. I mean, I noticed across the commentariat in America, a lot of Republicans sort of squirming when it came to the idea that America would take charge of Gaza, because, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that that would probably mean troops on the ground. And that is completely antithetical to America First, isn't it? So it's an interesting way for Trump to talk about something where you're kind of saying this kind of means troops on the ground, even though he says it doesn't.
Yeah, it's very interesting you said, because today, President Trump, I'm looking at his schedule, he met with the King of Jordan and the Crown Prince of Jordan. And in that briefing that they had, in that quick meeting inside the Oval Office, the king said, okay, we will take 2,000 of the sickest children in Gaza. I 100% that believe that when he said we're going to take Gaza by U.S. authority, he was once again trolling to bring people like the King of Jordan, Egypt, and all those Middle Eastern countries around and say, okay, do you really want America back in the Middle East? Or you guys want to take care of this yourself? Because if we come in there, this is what's going to happen. So I believe that him saying we're going to take Gaza because we have the authority to do so, is another way to show the world, okay, Donald Trump wants Gaza. How about we just do this ourselves? I believe this is another strategy for him to bring these countries into the table and say, hey, you got to fix this. We're not the world police. You got to fix this. But Trump has a way of saying things out loud, get everybody all riled up, and then people come to the table and have the conversation. Because if I'm the Middle East, I don't want Donald Trump. I don't want America in the Middle East. So if all we need to do is take a couple of people here to, you know, Jordan, Egypt, and all the surrounding Middle East countries, then you know what? They have to come up with a plan. But I don't think Donald Trump wants a war, and he doesn't want to start a war. That's one of the things he ran for re-election, that he never started a war, he ended a war. So I don't think he really wants a war. I think what he wants is for the Middle East to take care of the Middle East. And I think the best way that he did that was by saying, we'll take Gaza and we'll make it like the Riviera. We'll put hotels and people are not allowed to come back. I believe that was all talk so he can get the media on the talking points and then get all these countries out of the hiding and say, okay, we do not want Donald Trump in the Middle East.
Yeah, a lot of Republicans, that's what they're saying, that he's a deal maker. I think it's caused an awful lot of worry around the world in the sense of what's next. But as you said, it's through the prism of America First that he is very, there's one thing you can say an awful lot about Donald Trump, but war is not something that he's interested in at all. And it's not because he has got a huge heart or anything like that. It's evident. It's because it costs so much money. And as he says, we get nothing out of it. So that would be his. I want to ask you about, before we head off, we've got a few minutes left. Recently, Trump gave an interview to Fox News with Brett Baer. And when he was asked about J.D. Vance, was he his successor? The answer was no, which I think surprised a lot of people, because the impression everybody got was that Trump will do 4 years and then J.D. will run. But Trump poured cold water on that at the very start. Were you surprised by that?
I was really surprised But he, if you listen more of that interview, he kept bringing it back to, well, it's only been 3 weeks, and everybody keeps telling me this is the most, you know, effective work a person has done. I believe at that point he did not want to remove the light from him. One thing that we all can agree on is Donald Trump loves Donald Trump. So I believe that question would have taken away the ability for him to kind of chest up and say, well, what are you talking about? We're not talking about successors right now. We're talking about I'm doing a good job. But I do think the theory that is floating around in media circles is that Donald Trump Jr. might run in 2028.
Wow.
And Donald Trump is holding back his endorsement because he wants to give it to his son. Now, if you were to ask me, Chris, do you like that idea? Absolutely not. I don't like this whole, we already had this Bush clip.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
So that's interesting.
What I want is the best person, not because they have a Trump last name, is the best person that can represent the GOP.
Okay, Chris, I've got about 30 seconds. Just one last question for you very quickly. Are the United States going to take over Greenland, Canada, and the Gulf of Mexico? The Gulf of Mexico is now the Gulf of America.
I'll say this. Gulf of America already happened. We're not going to take Canada, but we're absolutely going to take Greenland. That will be part of America very soon.
You think a deal is on the table with Denmark?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, maybe you'll come back, Chris, and talk to us in the eventuality that that might happen.
It's certainly, absolutely. Thank you so much, Gary.
As my first guest said, may we live in interesting times. Chris, I really appreciate that. It's great to talk to somebody who's actually in the States because, you know, the news it's all over the place. It's so messy at the moment. So thanks for that insight. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Good night, Chris. Thank you. God bless you.
Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.